And if you forget everything else, just remember the word yes, okay? That we as a church want to build a group of people who desire, whose mindset is one in which they want to say yes no matter what Jesus calls them to, all right? So to help you out, I was going to save this for the end. I printed up a bunch of cards that have a big fat yes on them. And those are on the back table. Take one or two and stick them to your mirror. You know, most of you look in the mirror every morning. Some of you longer than others. But just stick it to your mirror and look at it and see yes to Jesus. Okay, this is what it means to be a follower. And this is our desire as a church, is to build a community of followers whose mindset is one in which no matter what Jesus calls me to, I'm going to say yes to him. This is what we desire. And so we looked the first week at the idea of community, that little phrase there, community. And then last week we considered the fact that following isn't so much a destination in this life as it is a journey. That we don't ever arrive as a follower on this side of heaven. But what we do on this side of heaven is we pursue. And so following becomes a dynamic relationship in which we grow and are transformed as God works in us. But today what I want us to consider is the last part, and I think the most important part, of what it means to be a follower. And that is the idea that followers say yes to Jesus, no matter what. Followers say yes to Jesus no matter what. I want us to kind of think about what that means. And I want to use this text in Luke chapter 5 to help us with that. When I was in university, I worked for a summer at a camp. And this camp had what we called a high elements ropes course. Okay, so part of this ropes course was what we called the pamper pole. Okay, now, I'm sure you know what pampers are. Pampers are nappies, okay? So this was called the pamper pole because it was about a 10-meter high telephone pole that you essentially climbed up to the top of. You stood up on top of it, and there's just a tiny little platform. The guy in the picture there, that platform is way too big, okay? The platform where we worked, the platform was really small, and you stood up, and you turned around on top of the pamper pole, and then you jumped. You jumped to a trapeze that was hanging just far enough so that if you were a normal, sane individual, you would stop and think, wait a minute, what am I doing up here on top of this pole? And we would inevitably have to coax people down off of this pole. Now listen, you're harnessed in, right? You got a rope that's attached to a belay down and somebody's holding you up. But that didn't matter. Because when you were 30 feet, when you were 10 meters in the air on top of this pole and it was shaking in the wind and that trapeze was out, you were scared. And we would inevitably have to coax people down off of that pole, right? We would have to say, listen, trust us. It's okay. We've got you. And if we don't have you, the rope has you, right? I remember one girl, I say girl, she was in university, who was up on top of the pole for almost an hour. I mean, we would have guys like, 14, 15-year-old kids that thought they were the toughest people in the world, you know? And they would get up there and they would just shiver with fear because of the pamper pole, right? We would say, just jump. It's okay. We've got you. There's something about standing on the edge, isn't there, that causes us to just kind of stop and think, right? There's something about being on the edge, staring into the unknown, that gives us pause. And yet, at the center of this idea about saying yes to Jesus is the act of jumping. It's the act of looking into the unknown that Jesus has called us to and jumping. And listen, jumping, just like saying yes, requires faith, doesn't it? And see, this is the problem, at least for me. What I personally find difficult is that faith doesn't operate in the realm of the visible. Okay? The author of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 1, says that faith is the assurance of things not seen. Faith operates in the realm of the invisible. It's when we can't see what is in front of us. That is where faith is exercised. And yet, I don't know about you, but I like sight. I like to be able to see what is in front of me. And yet, faith calls me against every natural instinct I have to say yes and to jump. And many of us have experienced this spiritually, that when Jesus calls us to something, no matter what it is, when Jesus calls us to something, it's a call that brings us to the edge of our understanding. It causes us to look into the unknown. And the question is, will you jump? Will you say yes to Jesus? Because that's what it means to be a follower. And look, maybe you're standing at the edge of the unknown today. Right now. Maybe God is in some way telling you to jump or to say yes in some particular area of your life. He's calling you to step out into the unknown. Maybe you've been considering Christianity for a while now. And Jesus is calling you to say yes to faith. Maybe it's a relationship that you feel like God wants you to end, or that it's a relationship that God wants you to begin. And you're standing at the edge, not knowing what is on the other side, as Jesus says, jump. Maybe he's calling you to quit a job. Maybe he's calling you to take a job. Whatever it is. At some point in all of our lives, we will stand at the edge, looking into the unknown. And the question that will be asked is, will we say yes to Jesus, no matter what? Even when we can't see, will we say yes? Well, in the time we have, I want to tell you this story from Luke 5. And I want to invite you to feel free to follow along with me, but I want to tell you the story of these men. And now this story might be familiar to you. If you're a Jesus follower, if you've been a Jesus follower for a while, there's a good chance that you have heard this story. But I think this story meets us where we are today when we think about what it means to say yes to Jesus no matter what. Luke chapter 5 begins, we see in the first three verses, Luke begins telling us and painting a picture of a really comfortable scene. It's a comfortable, tranquil kind of scene. It has an easygoing feel to it. Jesus is teaching. He's teaching. He procures Peter's boat. He takes Peter's boat. He's in the shallow water. He's teaching to a group of people that are on the shore. We don't know how many are there. There's probably a lot there. But it's a comfortable scene. There's no inherent risk in this scene. All these people are doing is sitting and listening to Jesus teach. If it were the 21st century, there'd probably be a little coffee cart and people sipping lattes, taking selfies and posting them on Facebook while Jesus is teaching. I mean, it's a really comfortable scene, right? There's no risk involved. But then Jesus stirs things up a little bit, as he often did. He stirs things up by calling these fishermen into what they do not understand, what they do not necessarily agree with. He says to Peter in verse 4, "Put out your boat into the deeper water and let your nets down for a catch. Essentially, what Jesus says in that verse is, Peter, let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. Now, Peter, being the fisherman that he is, realizes that this is a strange request. He doesn't understand it. And verse 5 tells us that Peter responds to Jesus with these words. He says, Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing here, Jesus, with all due respect, you are a carpenter. I am a fisherman. Now, as every fisherman knows, you don't go fishing in the middle of the day. That's why we fished all night last night. And even last night, in the middle of the night, when it's ideal to fish, we didn't catch anything. That's what Peter says in verse 5. Jesus, listen, thank you, but we know fishing, right? We know fishing. Now, Peter, to his credit, albeit reluctantly, not because he understands why Jesus would ask him to do something so absurd, but simply because Jesus is the one who asked him. In verse 5 there, he says, but at your word, I will let down the nets. Peter obeys. He does what Jesus says. And so these weary, confused fishermen who had packed up all their supplies, they packed up all their gear, they're repairing their nets, they get it all back out, they get on the boats, and they follow Jesus out into the deeper water. They don't understand why Jesus would tell them to do that. They probably don't agree that it's the best course of action. But because Jesus said it, they follow. They follow. And that is when something incredible happens. When they follow Jesus out into the deep water and they let down their nets, the text says that they caught such a great quantity of fish that their nets began to break. So many fish that they had to call their buddies over in another boat just to help them to take the fish that they caught into the boats. So many fish that both of the boats were so full of fish that they began to sink. All because they followed Jesus into what they did not understand. All because they said yes to Jesus when he called them to go. Followers say yes even when they don't understand. Followers say yes to Jesus even when we don't understand why God would call us to what he's calling us to. Followers say yes. And look, this is how we grow in our Christian lives. As our obedience intersects God's faithfulness, our faith is strengthened and we grow. Now, Luke says it very clearly in verse 6. He says, when they had done this, when they had obeyed Jesus, even though they didn't understand, and went out to the deep water and let down their nets for a catch, when they did that, that is when they saw Jesus' power. See? It wasn't in the shallow water. It was when they followed into the deep, even though they didn't understand. See, this is why our faith grows in the deep water. It's because that is where we see God move. When they let down their nets, they enclosed this great quantity of fish, something that they had never experienced before. Because, see, this is where we discover, listen, this is where we discover, when we follow and say yes into the unknown, this is where we discover that God is able to do what we cannot do. This is where we discover that God can be trusted. This is where we discover that when we jump, that He can hold us. It's as we follow Him into the unknown. Listen, some of us are afraid to say yes to Jesus today because at our core, we don't trust that God is able to do what we can't understand. Some of us today are saying no to Jesus because we don't believe at our core that He can be trusted in the unknown. That He doesn't really understand what He's asking of us. But it's only as we say yes to Jesus, even when we don't understand, that we see Him demonstrate His faithfulness and His power. And as a result of that, our faith is strengthened. Followers say yes, even when we don't understand. So Peter is blown away by what he has seen. James and John are blown away by what they have seen. As I'm sure any of us, if we were there in that moment, we would have been blown away by what we had seen. See, what happens is they reason that either Jesus put all those fish there, or Jesus knew that all those fish were going to be there, so that when they dropped their nets, all the fish came in. And they reasoned that if this is who Jesus is, then what does He know about me? What does He know about what is going on inside of my heart? And so we see in verses 8 and 9, they fall down on their knees because they see in Jesus something different. Now look, we know at this point in the Gospels, they don't fully understand who Jesus is. But here's the thing. Having followed Jesus into the deeper water and having seen Him move, they are different. They have seen Jesus in a new light. Look, saying yes to Jesus changes us. It changes us on the inside. When our faith grows as we jump because we are witness then to God's faithfulness. And that makes us different. That changes us, having seen that. And listen, because following is a process whereby we move forward, our yeses continually lead us to new opportunities to say yes. These guys saw Jesus in a different light. Their faith increased in some way. And they hadn't arrived yet, but they're different because they said yes, and they followed, and they saw Jesus move. Remember, last week, followers move forward. It's as we say yes that we continually grow and move forward as we see God respond in our lives. And that's what happens here. Look, the fish are not the end of this story. The fish are not the point of this story. Jesus never does a miracle in the Gospels just to do a miracle. There's always a point. So the fish are not the point of the story. They are but a step in something bigger that Jesus wants to accomplish in these people's lives. There's always a next thing to say yes to. Again, we don't arrive as followers. We pursue. We pursue. So here's the new precipice. Jesus, in verse 10, Jesus says to these men, don't be afraid. He says, from now on, you will be catching men. From now on, you will be catching men. So here's the new call. See, here's the new precipice. Here's the new edge. So what will they say? How will they respond? What does that even mean? Right? It sounds so creepy. You think there's some confusion in their minds? Okay, what does this even mean? Fishers of men. All Jesus means is that he wants to use them to catch men and women into this kingdom that is centered on Jesus. That he wants to use these men to call men and women into a relationship of following after Jesus. But they don't fully understand that. They don't know what this means. You will be fishing for men. What will they do? Will they jump? Will they say yes? Listen, saying yes to Jesus for us ultimately leads us to mission, because mission is ultimate. This is what God is after. This is what he's doing in history, is he is raising up redeemed worshipers of all nations. Following ultimately leads us to this point. This is our call. As we move forward saying yes, we call others to follow Jesus alongside of us. And everything that God wants to do in you is more ultimate than you think. Listen, if God only wanted to transform you and your character, he could have simply just raptured you and transformed you in an instant when you were converted. See, he's after more than just that. God's desire to renew all things also involves his desire to use us in the process, calling people to follow Jesus. And so God wants people to see your yeses. As you follow after Jesus and say yes to him no matter what, God wants people around you to see that. Because what you say yes to declares value, right? This is what Jesus means in Matthew 5 when he says, "Let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." What you say yes to, what you are willing to trust in and to follow after, speaks about how much it is worth. So God wants people to see our yeses. And look, this is why the last 3 weeks have all led us to mission. Mission is not explicit in the statement, but mission runs underneath the surface of what we want to be as a church. And so we talked a couple of weeks ago about community. The idea that a gospel community, a community of people who give themselves to one another, who give themselves to people who don't deserve it, is compelling to outsiders who need to see the gospel, who need to see what it looks like that Jesus gave himself sinners. The idea that our following is a journey is compelling to those outside who see the power of gospel at work in sinners who are transformed in their character. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. In fact, if you are perfect here today, you are in the wrong place. We're not perfect. But God is at work in us to make us new. And that's compelling to people outside. And saying yes to Jesus ultimately leads us to becoming fishers of men and women. As God's redeemed people, we seek to draw others in to following after Jesus. So, what will these men do? Will they embrace this calling? As they stand on the edge, will they jump? Will they say yes? Look at verse 11. This is amazing. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. They jumped. Not fully understanding all that it meant, they said yes. They left everything. They can't see what's ahead, and yet they leave it all. Now think about what they left. Well, they left their equipment. They left their livelihoods. They traveled around with Jesus. In some sense, they left their families, their extended families. They left all those fish. They're professional fishermen. This is the pinnacle of their career. They would have been in Fisherman's Monthly. You know, I mean, it's like they would have, this is the pinnacle, the top of their career, and they walk away to follow Jesus. And historically, we know that in the end, following after Jesus cost them their very lives. All but one of them in rather painful ways. And yet they left. And this isn't the last time that they'll stand at the edge of the unknown, Jesus calling them into something. There will be something else. Now, why do you think they did that? Why do you think they did that? Let me tell you what I think. They didn't see anything special in the shallow water. In the shallow water, they were just kind of hanging out. They were hearing a good sermon, no doubt, from Jesus. He was one of the best preachers there was. They didn't see anything special. I mean, there were lots of people on the land who were content to just listen to the words that Jesus said. It was easy. It was comfortable. There was nothing demanded of them. But they saw Jesus do something incredible when they followed him into the unknown. And having seen that, how could they possibly go back to the safety of the boring shoreline? Look, there are Christians who spend their whole lives in the safety of the shallow water. They come to church and they hear sermons, some good, some bad. They drink coffee, they drink tea, but they never see God work powerfully in their lives because they're content with living on the shore and they won't jump. They won't say yes. They never experience what it's like to lay it all on the line and to jump into something that only God can accomplish and work in. They don't say yes. Well, others of you in this room, I know from talking with you, have jumped. You can point to times in your life where you felt like Jesus was saying to you, just go. Just do this. Just trust me. And you did it. You jumped. And you know what you saw? When you did that, you saw God do something amazing. You saw him provide for you in a way that you had never imagined possible. You saw him strengthen you, give you courage that you never thought he could do. See? That's what happens when you jump. That's what happens when you say yes. You see God do what you cannot explain. And that's what happened in the lives of these men. They followed. They said yes. And what did God do? He launched a movement through their yes that eventually, over 2,000 years, reached you if you are a follower of Jesus. It all goes back to their yes. that they gave to God. That's our purpose. To build a community of followers who say yes to Jesus no matter what. As I close, let me give you four things that just as a kind of graphical way to understand how we want to build those kind of followers. First is we want to gather together. We want to gather. And so we view this gathering as an entry point for most people. So new people come into our fellowship. They come in mainly through this gathering. And we encourage people to be here whenever we can, whenever they can. We want you to be here because we value the gathering. We value this time to encourage one another at a broad level, to hear the word of God and to corporately bring our praise before God. But listen, we don't believe that this gathering in and of itself is what you need to really grow in your faith. And so alongside this gathering together, we want you to grow in smaller settings. Because this is where we think that real growth happens, is as we get into smaller settings with one another, where we can do life together at a close, intimate level. So that's why we send the kids out to smaller classrooms. That's why we do youth club, where we bring the youth together. That's why ladies get together once a month for the ladies' night out. Men, we need something, okay? Amen. Amen. Well, here's what we're going to do. It's a start, but beginning on February 5th, on a Friday evening at 8 o'clock, any man that is interested, or youth man that is interested, come up here, 8 o'clock, and we're going to pray together. We're going to pray that God would work in us, that he would make us the men he wants us to be, that he would transform us, and then when we're finished praying, we're going to pull out chairs, and we're going to pull out the sound system, we're going to pull out all this stuff. Every second week, beginning February 5th. Men, that's it. We have home groups. We have a group that meets every Wednesday night at 7:30 to gather together at a smaller level to share with one another how life is going, to study the Bible, and we want to start more. On February 9th is a Tuesday evening. We're going to start another group at Greta's house over in Renmore on the east side, Merview, sorry, on the east side of town. Tuesday nights at 7:30. We're going to start with Christianity Explored. We're going to go through that together, and then we'll see where we go from there. And listen, we want to start others because we believe that that's where growth really happens, is as we get together in smaller settings in order to do life together, that's where God works. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And that sharpening involves close contact with one another. So that's what we want to do. We don't just want, though, we don't just want you to kind of get fat taking in all this stuff. So the next thing is we want to encourage giving. Now listen, by giving here, I don't just mean we want you to drop a few coins in the offering box. That's not what we're talking about. Now, that's important. Part of growing in faith is becoming a percentage giver. We've talked about that before. But what we mean by giving is much more holistic than that. We want to draw people along so that they're willing to give of themselves. All of us have talents and all of us have gifts. All of us have understanding in certain areas in this room. So we want to encourage that. We want to encourage you to give yourself to one another. We want to encourage you to serve, like Mark said, maybe in the kids' area, maybe by bringing something on Sunday, maybe by putting things away or pulling things out. We want to encourage you to serve. We want to encourage you to covenant in membership. We feel like that's an important thing as we hold each other accountable. We want to encourage you to take on leadership responsibility, to give of yourself. because this is what we do. And then finally, we want people to go. Now, I don't mean leave. And I don't mean by going that the only way you can go is to go as a foreign missionary somewhere and to another part of the world. That's not necessarily what I mean. But because we believe that mission is the end for which God is working in us on this earth, we want us all to be involved in going with that in that mission. So we want to encourage you to get to know your neighbors, to get to know your coworkers. We want to encourage you to be involved someplace in the community, in an organization that you can pour into the lives of non-believers. We want to encourage everyone to invest with intent, to invest themselves in relationship with non-believers with the intention and the prayer that God would use you to speak into their lives. Look, that could mean just engaging with a neighbor, inviting someone over for tea. It could mean going out on the street, standing there with Philip, handing out literature, if Philip wants you to. There's all kinds of things that going can mean. You don't have to go far to go. Going is much more about having your eyes focused outward and your heart open to what God might want to do than it is about the distance that you travel. So if we put all these together, we can see the pathway to gather, to grow, to give, and to go. But listen, remember that following is a journey. And so these aren't four boxes that we tick off. Okay, I gathered, I'm done. That's it, check. But rather, these are things that happen continually as we move forward together as a community of faith. We gather, we grow, we give, we go. And then we gather some more, and we grow some more, and we give some more, and we go some more. These things happen continually as we grow in our faith. I'll just share with you briefly one of my prayers that I pray for us as a church. This is what I call a big, hairy, audacious goal. Okay, my prayer, and I know Michael's prayer, is that one day even we would be able to take this gathering and to spin off another gathering in a nearby community. That we might be able to see a whole other church come out of this church in another area. Because it's in that context that we are able to, in a very powerful way, plant a new embassy in an area where the gospel can take root. And that's our desire. That's my prayer. I pray that all the time, that God would use us to spin off another church in another community. Gather, grow, give, go. That's what we want to do. Our understanding, us building a community of followers moving forward, is captured in that strategy of gathering, growing, giving, and going. But here's the question. This is the final question. Will you jump? Will you say yes? Look, we're on the pamper pole, right? I don't know what Jesus is calling you to right now. I don't know what precipice you are standing on. I don't know what edge you are on. All of us are in different places in terms of what Jesus is calling us to. But the question is, whatever he calls you to, will you jump? Even if you don't understand it. Let me just challenge you with this. For the next week, so for the next 7 days, okay, forget about 2016, forget about February, just take the next 7 days. And every morning when you wake up, before your feet hit the ground, just pray something along these lines. Jesus, I want to follow you today. I want to say yes to you today. And I don't know what this day holds. I don't know where you're going to take me. But I want to say yes.